If you've listened to any rock and roll music in the last half century or so, you've got one Wisconsin legend to thank for it. Known as the Wizard of Waukesha, Les Paul was a musician and an inventor whose many creations include the solid body electric guitar, which changed the sound of music forever.
Today, June 9th, would have been Les Paul's 100th birthday. He passed away in 2009, but his influence continues to be felt throughout the music industry. In addition, there are plenty of events taking place today here in Wisconsin and around the country to celebrate this major milestone.
Joining us now to talk about the man behind the guitar, as well as how he's being remembered today, is Sue Baker. She's program director of the Les Paul Foundation and was a close personal friend of Les Paul's. Sue, thanks for joining us.
You're welcome. Glad to be here.
So during his lifetime, Les Paul was many things to many people, a musician, inventor, a songwriter, friend, so on. How would you describe him?
Oh, how would I describe him? Inspirational. I'm not a techie person, I'm not a musician, but when I had the chance to meet Les and become his friend, I was absolutely fascinated by his outlook on life.
What was that outlook? How would you describe it?
Eternally optimistic. For example, when he first told me about the car accident he had in 1948 where he almost died and he was in the hospital for 6 months and an additional year of recuperating. He was telling me the whole thing in depth, and then at the end he just said, well, I was the luckiest guy in the world for that to happen. And I said, whoa, stop. Wait a minute. I said, I can't think of another person on the face of the earth who would describe such a horrific situation and that you almost died in two different times, that you almost had your right arm amputated, and then you tell me you were the luckiest person in the world. You have to explain that to me, Les. And he said, well, don't you see? I was leading my life way too fast, and I wouldn't have slowed down to think about what I had done or what I wanted to do, and the accident helped me do that.
Wow.
I was speechless.
I bet. Well, and I also think he must have been incredibly curious. This was a guy who I imagine was always tinkering, either, you know, with the music itself or the technology behind it.
Absolutely. And he has, there's a lot of really funny stories about his curiosity as a kid. One of the latter ones that I heard just cracked me up was he said he always had a dog. He always called his dog Buster. And he said one time he decided that he had seen a little wagon, and he thought, well, I'll just hook up my dog to the wagon. And so he figured out a way to hook up his dog to this little wagon. And this is a little tiny thing, you know, just two wheels. And he said, I had it hooked up, and I held a hot dog out on a stick. I mean, this is like right out of the cartoons, right? Holds a hot dog on a stick to get the dog to run. And he said everything was going great until the dog saw a cat up a tree.
Oh, no.
He said, my mother was laughing so hard the tears were running down her face because he said the wagon was smashed and I was on the ground. I mean, he was always trying things, whether it was music or early technology or just fun kid stuff. He was always thinking.
Well, one invention that worked out a little better than the dog cart, one of his most famous, the solid body electric guitar. I mean, this was huge. There's no rock and roll music really without this thing. Can you talk about what he was trying to do and how he ended up with this amazing invention?
Well, it's really interesting because he started actually working on that whole concept when he was a young teenager living in Waukesha. And he was performing for tips at a barbecue stand, like a drive-in restaurant at Gerke's Corners, and that's basically just a little bit outside of Waukesha, kind of between Waukesha and Brookfield. But there was if you can picture an old-fashioned drive-in restaurant, or there would be people, you know, coming out to the cars and taking orders, and Les performed there for tips. And he was performing, and he realized that the people in front were giving him good tips, but the people in back were not. And so he thought, well, if I could make my guitar louder, I'd probably get more tips. And so that's when he went home, and his parents had a phonographing picture, an old-fashioned phonograph with an arm and a needle in it. And he said, I took the arm off the phonograph, and I took the whole arm and a needle, and I jabbed the needle into the bridge of the guitar and strapped on the arm. I mean, I don't know about you, but I'm having visions of duct tape. And then he wired that into a speaker that was in a, from a radio, and he said, it worked. I got more tips. But someone in the back in a rumble seat said, Les, we sent up a note. Les, we can hear your singing. We can hear your harmonica. We can't hear your guitar. And again, he's thinking, okay, I'd get more tips if they could hear my guitar. So that's when he went home and he started experimenting. First thing he did is he thought, well, what I need to do is not have the guitar vibrate so much. And so he stuffed socks in his guitar. You know, picture an inexpensive acoustic guitar. He's stuffing socks in there, and he's stuffing rags in there, and even a whole tablecloth. And he said it sounded different, but he didn't like the sound, so he thought, okay, I need to make that really solid. So he poured plaster of Paris in. And then he said, and that totally ruined the guitar. So then he thought, okay, I need some kind of material that is really, really solid. And he thought about what's the densest material that I know. Well, Les lived across the street from a railroad track. And in that time, now they don't do this now, but back in the 20s, when the guys from the railroad would come by and they would see a piece of the steel rail that was deformed or weak or whatever, they would literally just cut it off and they would throw it under the bridge and then they would replace it. When I say under the bridge, the Fox River runs through Waukesha, and Les lived where the train track and the Fox River sort of cross. And there was a bridge, and that's where they throw it. So Les, Waukesha's Tom Sawyer, convinces six of his buddies to come and help him, quote, borrow a wagon, take the wagon down a rather steep hill, pick up one of these 2-foot pieces of rail, and take it back to the house. And when he's telling me this, I said, Les, please tell me you returned the wagon. He said, well, of course I did. But at any rate, he took the rail, and then he took a guitar string and strung it the length of this 2-foot rail, put a microphone that he had taken out of his mother's candlestick telephone. And for those who don't know what a candlestick telephone, that's those real old-fashioned black ones that look like a candlestick. So he took the microphone out of there, put it on the rail underneath the string, and plucked the string. And he said, it was the most beautiful sound I ever heard, and the sustain was phenomenal. And he said, I ran to my mom and said, Mom, Mom, you got to come. You got to hear this. I just invented this great solid body guitar. So his mom comes and she goes, Lester, the day you see a cowboy sitting on his horse with a chunk of rail, and Les said, I knew she was right. But he also knew he was onto something. And that's where the solid body electric guitar really got its start.
We're talking about the Wizard of Waukesha, Les Paul, with Sue Baker. Now, a lot of people, when they talk about Les Paul, talk about the guitar. That's not his only musical contribution in terms of technology. What else did he give us?
Well, actually, the people in the music industry, although they really appreciate the Les Paul solid body electric guitar, what they really love are all of his inventions related to recording. And that the one that is known the best is the sound on sound, or the professional 8-track recording. But in addition to that, he came up with all these ideas of reverb and echo and phase shifting and close miking and all sorts of things that were not used back in the 40s when he came up with this.
So he changed what our music sounds like.
Absolutely. And the reason he did it, which I find very interesting, was his mother again. His mother was such a great influence. And that was electric guitars were starting to come around in the 40s, and a lot of people were using them. Les was performing in Chicago at the Chicago Theater with the Andrews Sisters, and his mom drove down to see him. And she saw Les, and she said, Lester, I heard you last night on the radio. You sounded great. Les said, my, you didn't hear me on the radio. I was on stage with the Andrews Sisters. So Evelyn Polfus, that's Les's mom, and I can almost see her putting her hands on her hips, saying to Les, well then, Lester, you better do something about it, because you all sound alike to me. Now, this was a woman who really enjoyed country music, and that wasn't always what Les was playing. So Les thought about it. Once again, he said, Ma's right. So he stopped playing with the Andrews sisters. He left his trio, and they continued on. Les went back to his home, and at that point he was living in Hollywood. He shut himself up in his garage, which he had turned into a studio, and he said, basically, I didn't come out of that garage until I found a new sound. I wanted to sound different than anybody else. I wanted to create sounds that no one else had ever heard, and that's what he did. He came up with all of these new sounds, and Capitol Records went produced the Les Paul's new sound.
Now, he moved to Hollywood, as you said, but did he keep his connection with Wisconsin and with Waukesha?
Always. That's why he's called the Wizard of Waukesha. What's really neat about Les is as I've met Les's friends and people who've known Les over the years, they almost always say to me, you know, Les never lost that Midwest charm. Now, as someone who's always lived in the Midwest, I wasn't quite sure what they meant by that. But for all of you Midwesterners, that's a great thing if someone says that to you, because what they mean is it's that you're a genuine person, that you really care about other people, and you don't see yourself more important than anyone else. And that epitomized who Les was.
And how is Les remembered now on this as we mark this anniversary in Waukesha?
Well, we're marking the anniversary for sure across the whole United States. In Waukesha, where Les is buried at Prairie Home Cemetery, they're going to have a ceremony, and they're going to have the students from Les Paul Middle School who are taking part in the Little Kids Rock guitar program will be performing along with some of the Guitars for Vets people. And so they have a ceremony there, and one of Les's friends, former mayor Paul Vrakas, will be speaking about Les and his memories. And also our current mayor, Sean Riley, will be addressing the group too. And then following that, there's going to be a birthday celebration at the Waukesha County Museum so people can see the exhibit and celebrate Les and have a good excuse for a fun party.
Quite a treasure for Waukesha. Sue, thank you so much for joining us today.
You're welcome.
That was Sue Baker, Program Director of the Les Paul Foundation. She joined us to talk about the Wizard of Waukesha, who would have been 100 years old today.